I need to, not only do I need to do the job, I need to like talk about me doing the job to like market myself internally to be considered for a promotion. There's some conflicting emotions when you put yourself out there. So it is hard, and you are taking a risk because there isn't any guarantee that you'll get rewarded with a promotion or more compensation. So, you know, there's some challenging aspects of doing this.
You've been through it. I've been through it. I know so many people who are very successful, right, who have navigated this. And so I just want it to be very clear, like, it's not the end of the world. You will find it. I know it feels that way in the moment. The emotions you're feeling, they're valid and it's normal. And everyone goes through that. You will eventually find your next opportunity. My inbox is just always flooded with people reaching out who have either been laid off recently and they're in that panic mode of like, I've got to go find my next thing. Or you have these folks that are just kind of hitting this point of despair where they've been laid off months ago and now they still haven't found something. And now, I mean, talk about the questioning your self-worth, right? They're not getting interviews. They're not advancing in the interview process. It's what is it about me? What am I doing wrong? What am I saying wrong? Is it my experience? And so all this self-doubt, and it's heartbreaking for me, and I've been there too, so I get it. Welcome to the She's So Sweet podcast, where we interview accomplished women who have worked their way to the C-suite. I'm your host, Chrissy Falteruso, Chief Customer Officer and award-winning Customer Success Executive. I am so thrilled to introduce my guest today and my friend, Megan Bowen, CEO at Refine Labs. Hi, Megan. Welcome to the show.
Hey, Chrissy. Thanks for having me. I'm excited for the conversation today.
I am particularly interested about the timing of our episode, just coming off of some recent news that you'll be sharing with our guests today. But I thought it was very timely for us to have this conversation, I think personally and selfishly, so that I could get caught up on all the good things happening in your world, but also so we could share some of this with our audience. So tell us what's going on with you and tell us a little bit about your role at Refine Labs.
Yeah, absolutely. So you sort of alluded to it, but coming into 2024, we made some announcements at Refine Labs, both including that our founder and former CEO, Chris Walker, is going to be stepping into a chairman role at Refine Labs and starting a new venture. In conjunction with that, he has promoted me into the CEO position. Me and Chris teamed up back in actually the summer of 2020, like very beginning of the pandemic. Mm-hmm. At the time, there was few employees, a few customers. Refine Labs was just really getting started, and I joined him as the COO at the time. And him and I have been building the agency, side by side for the last 3 years. And we have sort of moved into this next phase where he saw another opportunity to set up a new company focused on something sort of adjacent to what Refine Labs does. And as we kind of move into our next phase of growth at the company, he wanted to elevate my position to really have me take over and see us through this next chapter. So it's been a wild ride the last 3 years, and I'm really excited and honored to be stepping into the CEO position and feel very clear and confident about the path forward.
I have really been inspired by watching your journey. I mean, obviously even before Refine Labs, but like, I feel like this accelerated path all the way to CEO has been really inspiring for me as your friend and peer to kind of watch. And so I'm really excited about this and being able to take your stories and share it with our audience. So before we get into that, I want to hear tell me a little bit more about the role, right? Like, so you're CEO of Refine Labs. Let's talk about more about what Refine Labs does. Tell me about who your customers are. And then like, what does your new role look like, right? What's your new day-to-day going to be?
Yeah. Well, at Refine Labs, we're a B2B digital marketing and demand generation agency. So the way I explain it to my mom is we help our customers get more customers at the end of the day. We obviously run, we do demand consulting, paid media advertising, creative services production, ultimately working with companies to set up their demand gen engine. As the CEO, right now we have about 40 employees at the company. You're responsible for setting the vision and the strategy, not running out of money, all the standard CEO job responsibilities. But also, you know, very focused on continuing to own customer acquisition and leading my senior leadership team. Our core senior leadership team is made up of leaders that have been at the company for multiple years. And so I'm really fortunate to have a really strong leadership team supporting me and really owning each of their functions. I think one of the things I'm excited about for this year, Refine Labs has always been known as the sort of the pioneer in the new ways of executing and measuring B2B marketing. And I think that we have an opportunity to continue to really identify the next evolution of what that looks like as market conditions continue to evolve. A lot of our strategies have been anchored on, organic and paid social media execution to really get the word out about a brand, a product, differentiation. And I think as, growth at all costs sort of starts to morph into more of a focus on profitability and sustainability, I think we have an opportunity to continue to elevate and evolve all of our marketing strategies. So excited as we kind of continue to take that challenge to be the pioneer and continue to sort of author new playbooks on an ongoing basis.
I love that. And I'm confident you guys are going to do amazing things. And I can't wait to like kind of watch the success of Refine Labs with you at the helm of that. So congratulations again on that, but really excited. So listen, I won't say confidently that this wasn't your dream, right? You're a little girl and you're like, I'm going to be the CEO of Refine Labs one day. Obviously, that's probably not how that went down. So when you were young, what was it that you wanted to be, right? I don't think that you dreamt of this role. So what were some of those career aspirations that you had early on?
Yeah, I always tell people this story. I actually from, I think about age 9 or 10 to just about when I headed off to college, I was dead set on being a film director. That was what I wanted to be. I wanted to make movies. I grew up in Southern California in the Valley right outside of LA. And I didn't want to be an actor. I wanted to be the director. I wanted to be in charge of making it all come together. I actually would force all my friends and family in the neighborhood to like make movies with me as a kid, bossing everybody around about what to do. So, and I think when I was finally applying to colleges, I was like, do I go to film school? And what I kind of realized was, I really think I want to make a lot of money so I can fund my own movie productions. And then that was really the catalyst that switched me into thinking about business. But the clear parallel is I like to be in charge and I like to be the one kind of overseeing everything that's happening sort of in service of achieving a goal. So I would say, that's like the commonality.
Well, then I would say the success is that you became your director just of a company and not of a film production studio.
There you go. And maybe one day I'll decide that I want to go back to making some movies. We'll see.
Well, now you made a move, right? Because you're not in LA any longer, right? So was there any part of like your journey there relocating? Because I believe that you're in New York, right, Megan?
Yeah. So I actually had really, I think my mom took us to New York when I was 9 years old. And she tells this story about how I was walking around New York City and I was just like, oh my God, I love this place. I'm going to live here one day. And so I actually really wanted to move to New York right out of high school, but I was scared. And so I ended up going to my first year of school at San Diego State, which love San Diego, beautiful place to live and go to school. But then I kind of worked up my courage and was like, no, I really want to live in New York and experience that. So I ended up transferring and moving to New York when I was 19, and have been here ever since. And so I honestly, it was one of the best decisions that I ever made. It was very scary at the time, but I built a life here and I love it. I go back to California a lot, see my mom and stuff, but New York is home to me now.
Oh, that's so great to hear. As a native New Yorker, I personally can't imagine living anywhere else, but I also am ready to stop paying New York prices for everything. So at some point, I'm like, maybe the middle of the country seems a little bit more appealing. Very good. Well, listen, I want to talk more about some of the pivotal moments in your career trajectory and kind of like what got you here? Because I always think that that's a really interesting story. So as you reflect back on your career journey, what are some of those pivotal moments or the decisions that you feel like you made that helped contribute to your ascent to the C-suite?
Yeah, I think I would call out a few things. So I kind of grew up in like the New York City startup scene. And so I do think when you think about, okay, how am I going to accelerate my career? How do I create opportunities for learning and growth? Choosing the right company and kind of, you know, ideally the right hiring manager who would be your manager, your boss at the company. Those are two really important ingredients because opportunities present themselves when companies are succeeding. And if you have a manager or a boss that is really invested in their team's success and invested in mentorship and sponsorship to help, you know, their team, you know, grow in their career. So I think I made some good company choices when I was looking for roles and making decisions. One moment in particular, I was at my first job for almost 7 years as an account manager. But I sort of had hit a ceiling there based on the company's growth trajectory. And what I realized was if I wanted to grow my career, it was time for me to find my next chapter at my next company. I found this company called ZocDoc. This was in 2012. I was like, oh my God, everyone booking your doctor's appointment online? This is so smart. Everybody's going to do this one day. And at the time, it was like a very novel new thing.
Right.
And when I went through the interview process at that company, the only job they offered me was basically a customer support agent. And it was a over 50% pay cut. But I realized, I was like, this company is doing something really important. And maybe I'm going to take a step back and roll and pay. But I think my instinct said, this is going to be a place where I can grow. There will be some opportunity that I can't quite see yet that will come up given kind of where this company is. So I made the decision. My friends and family thought I was crazy. Why are you taking a pay cut? Like, you're kind of going backwards in your career. That doesn't make sense. And I was in that role for about 8 or 9 months, and I was able to make a business case to build out a post-sale team that just didn't exist. I was like, you're missing a team. You have sales, you have support, and you just keep hiring support people because no one's setting customers up correctly or taking care of them. And so put a business case together, put that proposal together, said, I can build this team. It took a few months of campaigning, but then they let me do it. And so that was my first opportunity to build out a whole function from scratch. And, you know, where I started and where I ended over that, you know, 2+ year period was very different. And that was my first real experience building a team from scratch. And when I really realized like, ooh, I love the building process. I love building teams, companies from scratch. There's so many factors in it that makes it such interesting and challenging work. So I think choosing your company wisely is really important. I think also I made that role for myself. I didn't wait for somebody to say, hey, this needs to be done. Do you want to do this? I recognized there was a problem in the business. And I said, this needs to be addressed. Here are some solutions. I can do this. Give me an opportunity to show you that I can. And so it's like not waiting for the opportunity, making the opportunity for yourself. And similarly, I used the same approach when I was at a company, a couple companies after that managed by Q. That's how I went from the director of account management to the COO. I started in account management and I was like, there are some issues in sales and operations. Like, there's a broader issue that we need to address outside of my account management scope. And I just worked on those problems with those leaders and was able to meaningfully improve the business and demonstrate my ability to be successful beyond my function, right? And that led to that eventual promotion, kind of making that leap from sort of functional leader to the C-suite. I'll stop. I feel like I was talking a lot.
No, are you kidding me? Like, what I love about this so much, though, is that our previous episode, I had our friend Miranda on, and we were also talking about this, like, advocate for yourself, right? And if you don't see an opportunity, build an opportunity. And I love that you just gave two really good examples in your career where the role didn't exist, but the problem did. And instead of focusing on this linear career path and waiting for a role that was obvious for you to step into, you worked on addressing a problem for the company and designing a solution and then allowing that to be your career trajectory. And I think that is so inspiring and so important for folks to realize, because especially in the startup landscape, right? Like, let's just talk about it, right? There's so many early stage startups where the companies are small. People find themselves in these roles and they can't see beyond the role that they're in, right? Like, oh, I should probably leave. Like, the only other role is my boss's role and my boss isn't going anywhere. So, like, it doesn't feel like there's anything else. Well, in startups, we know that there is nothing but issues and nothing but opportunity. So you've got to be able to see that and lean into things that you're passionate about and have the skills and experiences to go address. So I didn't interrupt you because I think it's important. And those stories are the things that I think people need to hear, because I think that that's what people are going to connect to as they think about their own career trajectories and those opportunities, right? Don't wait for them. You got to create them.
Yeah.
So personally, and I really love that.
And I think the other thing to, like, call out, because it sounds like it sounds great, and I think important to also recognize, like, the mixed emotions that exist when you have to go through that process for yourself, right? Like, I felt really impatient a lot, and I felt like I actually, you know, I deserved getting the promotion before I did, and I was frustrated as a result, right? Or you're in this position where you're, like, stretching so far beyond your role and then questioning whether you're, you know, the relative effort you're putting in versus, like, the value you're getting back from your employer makes sense, right? So there's some conflicting emotions when you put yourself out there. So it is hard, and you are taking a risk because there isn't any guarantee that you'll get rewarded with a promotion or more compensation. So, you know, there's some challenging aspects of doing this. I always think it's important when you share, you know, your success story that you also talk about the things that are, like, not as glamorous and the things that are hard, because it's so easy for people to just be like, oh, it should be so easy and I just have to do X, Y, and Z and then I'll get A, B, and C. And usually life is more messier. It's a lot messier than that. So yeah, I think we can share
that that's never the case, right? It's always a little muddy, which actually is a perfect segue, because we know that rising to the top in our careers doesn't come without some battle scars, right? There is always some lessons learned, we'll call them. So what were some of the significant challenges or obstacles that you feel like you had to face, and how'd you overcome them?
Yeah. So I think, you know, I think one of my hard-earned lessons in my career was really around really understanding your personal value set and making sure that you don't go against your values for a job or a company. I remember I was in, I won't share the name of the company, but I was one of my sort of earlier companies I was at, and you know, it's a startup. It's chaotic. It's hectic. There's a lot going on. But I was put in a position where I was being asked to do something that I felt was sort of violating my personal integrity. And I was torn because I had tried to kind of push back and say I didn't want to do it or this didn't feel right. And I felt pressured to do it anyway. And I ultimately did something that I didn't want to do because of that pressure, right? And I don't blame the other person. I take accountability. I did it. But as soon as I did it, I realized that it wasn't worth it. And then I tried to fix what I did for my own sort of personal well-being, to try to, like, right the wrong that I felt that I did. And it caused a problem in the organization. I surfaced it to the CEO and the COO, what was going on at the company, that I didn't feel it was right, that it needed to be addressed, that I also participated in it to a degree and felt remorse for that. My boss at the time admonished me for speaking up and told me never to do that again. And that was really when I realized that that was the beginning of the end of my journey at that place. Like, I was like, this isn't an environment where I feel comfortable that I can act within my own integrity. And then I think it made me realize, like, I'm never doing that again. Like, because of how that made me feel, like, it was not worth it. It was not worth it. And so some lessons, I think you have to learn that way, like, and that's okay. But I think that was a tough one for me.
The She's So Sweet podcast is brought to you by Client Success. Client Success is an all-in-one customer success platform to help post-sale implementation and success teams manage customers from new to renew. Through an industry-leading platform approach, Client Success gives businesses an in-depth view into customer health, product usage trends, along with churn and risk data so that your team can not only retain customers, but help them grow as well. Whether it's managing customer onboarding workflows in shared portals, building custom health scores, tracking sentiment with NPS surveys, or doing more with less through AI and automations, Client Success gives customer success professionals a true one-stop platform to manage all aspects of the customer journey. To learn more about the industry's fastest to implement customer success platform, visit www.clientsuccess.com. That's Client Success. Simple, powerful customer success.
Okay, this is like a favorite of mine that I hear from a lot of people. Did you ever have a situation where you didn't get the promotion that you thought you were going to get, or it ended up going to a peer or colleague? Like, I feel like that one is like notorious. I feel like I talk to women all the time. Sadly, it's like, oh, my male counterpart got it. But have you ever had an experience like that? Because you've got a lot of these like zigzagging career moves. So I'm just curious if you ever found yourself in a situation like that.
Yeah, I've been in that situation a couple of times. And I think, unfortunately, in both instances, there was a like a male colleague that stepped up into the role. And, you know, I think that the first time it happened, upon reflection, I wasn't advocating for myself appropriately. I just assumed if I do a good job, if I get the work done, if I demonstrate my results, like, that's all I need to do. And then I'll get promoted because they'll see my hard work. And I think in the first instance where this happened, my sort of the person that got the role was much more proactive about self-advocacy, and they got it, right? And you could argue that maybe I was, you know, maybe I actually got the job done better, but I wasn't advocating for myself. And I look back on that the first time that happened, and I pinpointed that really, I think, was the reason why. And it made me realize, like, oh, I need to, not only do I need to do the job, I need to like talk about me doing the job to like market myself internally to be considered for a promotion, right? Like, it's super intentional. And it's like, I thought like, okay, I'm going to start to like document all of my successes. I'm going to find opportunities to share that with my direct manager and other leaders at the company. Like, what are things I can do strategically to highlight my accomplishments and position myself, you know, for that promotion? In the second instance where this occurred, I actually was doing that because of my first experience. And it still wasn't quite enough. So I still, again, got passed up for a promotion, had a lot of respect for the person that took the role instead of me. Not that they were less deserving or anything, but I, from that instance, I'm still not really sure exactly why, you know, it wasn't me. But I think what that taught me was, kind of just going back to like, sometimes things just aren't meant to be. And I really took away from that experience. I remember being so upset when it initially happened, but I had a lot of respect for the person that got the role and decided, you know what, I'm going to handle this disappointment with grace. I'm going to congratulate the person that got it. This wasn't my turn, and didn't let it deter me. I'm going to keep going. I'll get there next time. But I think a couple of good tidbits in there that I picked up along the way. I think the self-advocacy, and ultimately, like, if you're ambitious, You're not going to win every promotion that you go after, and recognizing that that's also just part of the journey as well.
That makes a ton of sense, and I couldn't agree more. All right, I'm going to pivot a little bit because I want to talk about one more thing that I think maybe from our conversations this has happened to you. But we've got a lot of our friends in the space who have been laid off over the past year and a half. And I feel like it's one of the things that I visibly see and I hear from folks about how they're struggling with it. Finding jobs in this market is extremely difficult. And so I'd like, have you ever, I know I have, but this podcast isn't about me, it's about you. So have you ever been laid off? How did you navigate it? How did you rebound? Is this something that you've experienced? And like, what advice can we share for folks who, again, have the same ambitions and want to grow their career and feel like this is going to throw them right off their path because, we weren't prepared for this. And now I'm struggling to get back out there.
Yeah, I have been laid off, and it was actually when I was chief operating officer and was actually part of the conversations about what, like, if we had to do a layoff, and if so, what that would look like. And so that was really strange. It was a strange experience for me because I remember sitting in the room with the leadership team, and it became pretty obvious to me that we weren't going to be able to sustain the investment in the current leadership team. And because of the material sort of reduction that was about to happen. And then it was also kind of clear to me that I didn't think anyone was going to actually say that out loud based on how the conversation was going. So, you know, I think I was able, you know, in the moment, I was able to recognize the situation objectively for what it was. And it was like, okay, like we're running out of money. This is the only recourse for what we can do. We need to act now so that we can give people an appropriate runway of severance to find the next thing. And we have to restructure the leadership team significantly for this next phase of the company. And so, I think it was really difficult because I was sort of like part of the decision to lay myself off, but like not completely. So, and then you kind of go through the intellectual sort of thought process and planning process of going through it. And then you kind of realize after you're like, oh, I'm getting laid off. Like out of everyone on the team, I have to go. Or the leadership team. And then, you know, you start to feel all of the normal feelings that when you get laid off, like you feel embarrassed, you feel shame, you question your self-worth, you realize how much you've wrapped your identity up in your role and the company that you were at, and you feel that it's been stripped away and you're just like, oh, what's left? Like, so you feel all of those weird emotions. On top of it, I was also feeling a lot of guilt and shame for having, you know, not been able as part of the leadership team to be in the position where we had to do layoffs, right?
Yeah.
So that was a very complex time for me because I was trying to do what was best for the business. Then I was trying to do what was best for the team. And then all of a sudden it's over and it's just like, oh yeah, this thing also happened to me. And now I have all of these feelings and emotions that I have to process. But yeah, it's like you almost go through like a grieving process, whether the decision is made for you or in a weird right. situation like mine. And so that can be challenging. And it took me a long time to, I think, rebuild my confidence, start to recognize that I had an opportunity to set healthier boundaries with my next role in company, not to wrap up my whole identity in my work.
Right.
So there were some good lessons that came from it. But also like, it's just so not personal. No one is immune from this. And I think, yeah. And I think there was some like interesting emotions around going through that process too, where I felt that, I was really like in it with the team, right? You're like kind of like going to battle and you're like, okay,
right.
Like I gotta go too. And so, anyway, I remember post all of that happening, like following up with everyone that was impacted and trying to provide support where I could, because in that particular instance, I really did feel what they were feeling. But yeah, I think those things are tough. Even as a business leader, I've had to also do other layoffs. It's like the worst thing in the world. I always try to make sure that we're properly planning to avoid that. But sometimes businesses are just in a position where it has to happen. And if so, you just have to do your best to do right by your team and give them as much runway as possible to find their next opportunity. But yeah, I think, what a emotionally charged topic. I'll pause.
Well, because you're probably like reflecting back. And yeah. it's such a time right now where I just feel like my inbox is just always flooded with people reaching out who have either been laid off recently and they're in that panic mode of like, I've got to go find my next thing. Or you have these folks that are just kind of hitting this point of despair where they've been laid off months ago. Yeah. And now they still haven't found something. And now, I mean, talk about the questioning your self-worth, right? They're not getting interviews. They're not advancing in the interview process. It's what is it about me? What am I doing wrong? What am I saying wrong? Is it my experience? And so all this self-doubt, and it's heartbreaking for me. And I've been there too. So I get it. But, yeah. You know, and I also can't do anything to help change it, right? So it's just a tough time. But I like the stories where you could just see, like, listen, you've been through it. I've been through it. I know so many people who are very successful, right, who have navigated this. And so I just want it to be very clear, like, it's not the end of the world. You will find it. I know it feels that way in the moment, but you did a great job of kind of helping folks realize that, like, yes, you're going to go through this grieving process. The emotions you're feeling, they're valid and it's normal. And everyone goes through that. You will eventually find your next opportunity.
Yeah, I think the biggest takeaway is it's not personal. It usually has nothing to do with you and everything to do with the business, and not to let it impact your self-confidence, your self-worth.
Right, because it should say, to your point, right, it says a lot about the company and not necessarily the individuals who are impacted.
Absolutely.
All right, let's pivot. We need a happier topic. Okay, let's switch gears, because now we're getting sad. It's like we're all reflecting. We're in our grieving process all of a sudden. Okay, we got to flip this conversation on its head. Okay,
sounds good.
I feel like we don't ever spend enough time talking about our successes, right? I feel like at the drop of a dime, I can always list off the million times I've failed. In fact, the million times I've failed this morning. But I think we need to celebrate some of our successes, right? Because I feel like that is probably what has contributed to us getting to where we are. So when you look back, what would you say are some of your proudest moments or your biggest accomplishments in your career so far to date? And I know you're going to have a million as we continue on your journey.
Yeah, absolutely. I'll kind of hit a few of my milestones. I think I mentioned, I think earlier in the conversation, my first company, the company was called eChalk. It was an education technology company. We were helping public schools build websites and give students email in like 2006. I was at this company for almost 7 years, just basically being an account manager or a CSM. When I look back on that, I am so glad that I stayed committed. I was multiple times I felt frustrated and thought I should be accelerating in my career. But spending 7 years on one discipline with one company, it really made me appreciate the building mastery in your craft. And even if you're doing what you consider is the same thing over and over and over again, the reality is you're not. You're continuing to learn and grow and hone and understand the nuances and really build expertise. And I think sometimes that's lost on people today that want to just kind of grow. And so that, like, having that commitment to developing mastery and focusing, and having that be really like the foundation of my career, I think was an important milestone for me. I didn't really realize it at the time, right? It was kind of only in hindsight did I really appreciate that. I told my ZocDoc story of sort of, you know, going from customer support agent to building a team. That was a huge milestone for me and really made me realize I loved that team building, company building process. After that, I went to Grubhub Seamless. I was there pre-IPO. So I was able to experience what an IPO was like pre, sort of during and post. built out the B2B account management team at that company. And then my last 2 years, that company was really interesting. We went on an acquisition spree. And so I actually integrated 5 acquisitions like into the broader company. And that really made me develop my emotional intelligence, really understand the importance of like change management, communication, so many interesting, wonderful learning opportunities in that phase. And then at Q, I think it was really exciting for me. It was about a 2-year time period when I went from director of account management to COO, and it was gradual. Director of account management, then I took over, I was VP of sales and account management, then I took over marketing, then I took over operations, then I eventually got that title. And in fundraising, we weren't able to fundraise, but we ended up exiting to WeWork via an acquisition. So that was another wild ride. Obviously, the WeWork story took like a U-turn. Next podcast episode, over a glass of wine, I'll tell you my WeWork stories. Those are fun.
I'm very interested in that story. I'm like, anyone worked at Uber too? Because I'm like, we could take a WeWork story and like an Uber story. Like anybody who's got a Netflix doc out there at a startup, if you want to come together, because I'd love to listen behind the scenes.
Exactly. And then honestly, you know, I think the Refine Labs chapter has been an amazing one in my career. I think, you know, kind of building a company from the ground up in the way that you wanted it to be built. And we've had, you know, we've had tough times at Refine Labs too. It hasn't been perfect, but, you know, what an experience to really build something from scratch, bootstrapped, you know, and sort of with my business partner. And so I think all of those chapters have been really exciting for me and have just sort of continued to build on the foundation, you know, for my career. It's funny because when I think about the future, I picture a future where I actually take all the skills that I've built in kind of B2B SaaS and tech and kind of bring it back to my community. I think like my 10-year plan is I'd love to be in a position where I own a small portfolio of like small local businesses that are just doing things in real life. I love what I do, and I love that how we help our customers and how we're impacting the B2B ecosystem. But I see a future next chapter where I'm able to take all the skills that I've learned and find an opportunity to kind of support my local community more. And so it's been a fun evolution, and I think I've got some more exciting chapters ahead as well. So yeah, I think I'm very grateful for my journey, and there's been a lot of learnings and you know, hard times, but there's also been a lot of great success. I've worked with so many amazing people, and yeah, I feel like, I mean, we were just talking about my 40th birthday. I feel like I'm moving into this whole next era of my life where I'm going to continue to kind of change how I evolve my own journey.
I love it. Well, you heard me. I'm like living for my 40s. I think the 40s is the best decade. So anybody who is scared of getting old, if you are not 40 yet, I'm telling you, like, this is the best of it. Like the 40s. Ugh.
Amazing. Absolutely. I'm with you.
Okay. Let's talk about empowering women, right? We've got this podcast here that is about women who have, you know, advanced their career to a point, like, I don't want to say it's like you're at the top, because we're going to all go off and do amazing more things. This isn't the end of our journeys or stories, but I really love this one quote that I've always heard, right? The empowered women empower women. And I feel like early in my career, I lacked that mentor, like that female that I could look up to, that I'm like, wow, okay, I want to emulate that. Or I want to, you know, like that's a path I want to take. I didn't have anybody guiding me. I didn't have any help. So I am always very inspired about watching women who are helping mentor, coach, or advance the careers of other women and making that investment back. So how do you do that? How do you help and empower women as they take on leadership?
So one of the things I've always felt really strongly about is, and actually my first manager at that education company, eChalk, she was my first model where I could see that she was actively trying to help me grow in my career at that company. And I was like, this is the type of leader I want to be to other people, because she's going to bat for me. She's, you know, recommending me for promotions. And so I think the one thing I've always told myself is whenever I'm in a leadership position, I am going to find opportunities to level up and support the growth of the women around me, right? And of course, men as well. It's not only women, but knowing that women often are under-sponsored and under-supported, that was something that I can, in the companies I am in, I can specifically help very specific people grow their career. So that's always been a focus of mine. How do I create opportunities for the people that I am around every single day? And then additionally, I think, you know, that was actually one reason why I did start getting a little bit more active on LinkedIn, was like, hey, here's an opportunity to try to kind of share lessons learned and, you know, wisdom from my own journey that might be able to help people. And I think what's been really cool is when you put yourself out there, people do reach out to you. They have some questions, or they want to have a coffee, or, you know, they have a specific issue they want to get your advice on. So I have to be a little bit careful on sort of like all my priorities and time, but I also do try to respond to outreach like that. And when I do have time, spend time with people that just want an opportunity to, you know, ask some questions or share their experience, get some feedback. And so for me, like, focusing on how you can impact actual people is the most important thing, even if it's not on a huge grand scale. That's what I feel is most important. How can I help the people that I am physically around and help them grow in their career?
I love that. Now, you did say one thing, though. You talked about your priorities, right? And so I think this is something that as leaders, we all have to get right. And so I know that balancing the demands of the roles that we play, right, and the roles personally and professionally, right, the roles that we're in our careers, as well as the roles we play outside of work, very challenging. So how do you navigate that work-life balance? And are there strategies or habits that you've proven to be particularly effective for you?
You know, and this is an area of constant, like an area that I'm constantly working on, is like prioritizing my own self-care to make sure that I can show up best for the team. And so I'm one of those people that will, oh, I just got to take care of this, so I'm going to, you know, skip my workout, or I'm going to work late and skip dinner with my husband. And what I've realized is that there are times when maybe doing that once in a while is important or legitimate, but usually it's not. And so the thing that I'm trying to hold firm on is effectively a morning and evening sort of like time block, where I have my morning routine and my evening routine, right? Which are the things that bring me like the small joys of everyday life, right? Like, I want to walk my dog in the morning, enjoy my coffee, have a little bit of exercise, like take my time getting ready for the day, maybe reading or journaling a little in the evening, spending time with my husband. I love to cook. So just having a leisurely amount of time to just put a nice dinner together. And so I think for me, it's like holding those morning and evening blocks so that each day I'm doing things for myself has been critical for me. And I find that, you know, sometimes that means you have to say no to things. Sometimes that means you have to reprioritize. You know, sometimes you do need to break those routines, but I found that the more I stay strict on that, the better I show up for the team and others. And so it is really important. So I've been really good this year, you know, but we're still in January. So
I was like, this year, 2024,
2024. Yeah. Just like we're 30 days in.
Listen, but you're winning 30 days into the year. That's great.
I know, right? I think they say 21 days to build a habit. I'm like, I've built a new habit. Yeah. I'm doing it. I just got to keep going.
No, I mean, you're so right, though. I'm exactly like you. Like, that is my balance, too. It's like I have a rigorous morning routine, rigorous evening routine. I try to hold them both very sacred. I create boundaries. I communicate my boundaries. But we also know that the roles that we're in and the types of companies we work for, it's not always going to work out that way. So just preparing yourself for that, like, things will come up, things will happen.
what's important in the moment, but always making yourself a priority. So I love that you're doing that. Yeah, as you think back in your career and in your journey, is there a piece of advice that you wish you'd received a bit earlier, right? And so what insights can you share, would you share with your younger self, right? Like things that you've learned now, you're like, damn, I wish I knew that like 10, 20 years ago.
Yeah, I think, I think the topic that we were just discussing, like making sure that you're prioritizing your self-care and that that's not selfish. It actually is the best thing for everyone around you. So I think number one, I would say that. Number two, we touched on this earlier in the conversation. You are not your job. You are not your career. And so, you know, you can be really proud of all your career accomplishments. You can be very ambitious and go for it. But you're so much more than your job title or your career accomplishments, and making sure that you are recognizing that and cultivating things that you love outside of your career. It's like one of the reasons why I was so excited to get like scuba diving certified last year. I was like, oh my God, I love this thing. Part of who I am now is I'm going to be a scuba diver because this is something that I want to do on a regular basis. And the certification process was time consuming and a huge amount of effort and dedication. But it brings me so much joy, right? So you're more than just your career and your job and your title. And, you know, don't forget that. Take care of yourself and invest in things that bring you happiness and joy. Life is short. So I know this is about growing your career, but like, I think in my pursuit to do that, I think I neglected those areas of my life. Now I am reclaiming them as I enter the 40th, you know, my 40s. But I definitely wish I had someone kind of drill that into my head in my 20s. That would have been nice.
Listen, okay. So like I have this weird thing because I agree with you. Like I have balance now that I never had earlier in my career. Mm-hmm. But I also feel like my hustle early in my career is what got me to where I am today. So I almost feel like were the sacrifices I made then a part of getting me to where I ultimately wanted to be? I don't know that I would have had the same trajectory if I didn't put in the extra effort earlier, if I didn't work, if I didn't, like, you know what I mean? Like, so I have this weird, like, yes, I wish I knew balance sooner, but then I also have no regrets. I also don't feel like, especially in tech and in startups and in just the world that we work in, right? That grit and that grind, there is something to be said about that. And I feel like that helped accelerate my career. If I didn't do that, I may not be where I am. So it's I think that's weird, right? I can have an internal struggle.
Yeah, it's a great point. And again, you know, maybe I what I've learned also is there are some lessons that people just need to learn on their own. No matter how many times you hear it, the advice from someone else or in a book or in a LinkedIn post, whatever it is, there are some lessons that people just have to learn on their own. I've been in that where I've been trying to guide or mentor someone and I want to like shake them. I'm like, no, I keep telling you not to do this. And now you're doing the thing and now you're upset because the bad thing happened. And what I've realized is everyone has to go through their journey. And I think sometimes, like sometimes that's how you really internalize whatever the lesson happens to be. And I realized like, that's okay. Like some, you know, as much as you want to help people or prevent them from making the same mistakes that you've made, that's not up to you. And so I think that maybe kind of reinforces your point. Like we all have to go on our journey and like making mistakes is part of that. It's how we grow and how we learn. And I don't actually think it's a bad thing.
Yeah, I don't either. I mean, honestly, sometimes I'm just like, let them touch the stove, right? Like it's yes, one of those things. Like it's hot. You're gonna get burned. I've told you this 10 times, but you know what? You need to just go ahead, just touch it, just a little touch, and then you realize that I wasn't lying to you. All right. Yep. Well, listen. Before we wrap up today, what's the one thing that you want our listeners to take away from this conversation?
So what I would say is, think about what you really want and what success means to you. Don't take other people's definitions. And then whatever that is for you, know that you can do it. And don't let anybody else tell you that you can't, even when you experience setbacks along the way. So I think it's like really defining your own success and then carving your own path. And it doesn't have to look like mine. It doesn't have to look like yours, Christy. It doesn't have to look like someone else's. So I think it's good to hear other people's stories and take learnings and guidance and advice, but it's your life. You are the star of your own life. You are the love of your own life. You are the author of your own story. And so absorb the wisdom around you, but carve your own path, make your own path.
Megan, they could be the director of their own film.
Exactly.
Exactly. Very good. Well, Megan, thank you so much for your time today. If you enjoyed this episode, please follow us on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, subscribe to us on YouTube, and connect with me on LinkedIn. Thank you all so much. We'll see you on our next episode.
Hi, guys. I want to share a bit about an organization that I support called Wednesday Women. They're on a mission to increase the visibility of executive women leaders that you should know, learn from, and be inspired by. On LinkedIn, they share the profile of two amazing women each week, on Wednesdays, of course. And now just imagine if we all followed, amplified, and nominated the women that we want to see more of. Their initiative provides examples of women CEOs, founders, sales executives, technical leaders, and so many more. By supporting Wednesday Women, you'll see more of these professionals in your social feeds, of course, but also on stages, podcasts, and panels. If you're interested in learning more and supporting their initiative, head over to www.wednesdaywomen.org or follow them on LinkedIn.